Okay, well, I gave you a kind of a short intro on me. I don't come necessarily like most of you coming from the education background. I'm coming from the technical training background. I work for SAIC, Science Applications International Corporation, and my role is to, give technical training and not higher education training, though I do the on the side. So my mindset is slightly different from yours. So my talk is geared towards that and trying to, you know, encourage a discussion. And we've not officially called a discussion. My intent was only a few slides, but maybe hear some thoughts and stuff. And so where I'm taking this is, a growing thing for me, and I'm actively moving forward with trying to do some of the same things I'm going to talk about here. So talk about a few things, just four kind of main points I was going to get at. So my background is in SAIC. I fall into an area called training and simulations, where they've kind of compartmentalized the entire company, and one of them is training and sim. And in that role, I'm an instructor and team leader, and I build courses. And when I say technical training, think about any Microsoft Office product you've ever used. We give, my team and I give training on that for my customer, and my customer is U.S. Central Command in Tampa, Florida. That's where I know Andy Seely. He invited me to come up. So my perspective there is giving my coworkers, teach them how to use the software, not as an administrator, but as a user, right? So it's a little different from what you guys have been doing. And then, as it turns out, I do teach on the side as an educator like yourselves. I teach programming, intro to programming courses, Java, C++, things like that, whatever University of Phoenix says is what they'd like to teach lately for the intro level course. I've been doing that for over 10 years. So I have kind of a both background, but not the same as you guys. So when I think about courses, and what I wanted to start off with was plan before we do. And I heard one of you, I can't remember who mentioned it, said we don't just start programming. First of all, we need to plan. As a project manager, we build a project plan. As a program instructor, I teach them we do pseudocode or flowcharting first, and then we get into the fun stuff and we actually program second. So in the world of designing instructions, there's many different methodologies that you could go after. I think usually in this world of ADDIE, ADDIE, and it's the same idea, right? We plan before we actually start doing the training. So analyze, design, develop, implement, and evaluate. And what we've been talking about this afternoon was designing. We want to keep the end in mind. We're calling it objectives, goals, whatever, big picture, high-level stuff. What is it I want my student to leave this classroom from? And that's where my perspective is, not necessarily a curriculum, but I leave my little three-hour session. What is that? What do I want them to have? And so we go through this iterative process. It's never ending, right? We get better at it. You say you did it four times. Well, the fifth time, well, maybe I better go back and start with the beginning again. And it's a process of continual improvement, the whole TQM philosophy. We're never done trying to make something better. So whenever I start figuring about, am I building effective technical training, I'm always thinking about this. Where in this life cycle am I? And where do I want to go next? So in the bottom bullet, I say, you know, this is just another example. If you're in the quality management or implementing change, if you heard of PDCA, Plan, Do, Check, Act, the same idea, right? We're continually going around the circle, making it better and better over time. Hopefully, some of you guys, have you guys seen some models that you follow at your universities? Okay, I got to build a new course. Do you have some methodology that you guys kind of lean to, or just like do whatever seems best for you at the time? So I would say, you know, there are methodologies to help, you know, defend yourself to your chair that says, well, I don't see the value. Well, boss, I'm following best practice or things like that. And this, I would consider ADDIE a best practice. It's well known. So you're not just pulling something out of the air. You have something to justify why you're doing what you're doing. In the world of industry, it's all about, you know, am I giving value back to you in the universities? Are you doing research, I heard? That's big. Or are you teaching well? How are you proving your worth to your boss? In my world, that's important. My customer wants quality stuff from me. I got to prove my worth, not every day, but, you know, I can't just slough off. I got to keep showing them. So this kind of process of relooking is important for, do I have effective technical training? So personally, when I think about effective technical training, I like to think of the data to information to knowledge to wisdom structure. Has anybody heard about the DAKW structure before? It's a way to gear the information and what you can do with it to make smart decisions. If you've never heard of it, I'll kind of give you a one-on-one level of it. So it's a structure, and what it says is we start at the bottom level of information, and it's data. It's the signals, the ones and the zeros that get transmitted from something to make something out of it. And so what we do is generally move to the second, was now it's information. So those ones and zeros that came through the wire are now informations or information on explaining what, where, etc. You know, like basic info. From there, what would you do? Well, you move up the ladder and you're now at the knowledge level. So what does it mean as I've now gathered all these things? And then the last, where we bring it all together. Let me try to tie it to an example that Americans probably went through recently on last week, Tuesday, 1 week ago today. Most of us voted. The data example I would say would be from the voting machines in Florida. We don't have any hanging chat anymore. If you've been around, you know what I'm talking about. We put up the sheets on a scanner and we bubble feed them now. We don't stamp them, and it gets read in the scanner. That would be the ones and zeros going to some local machine and then getting transmitted to some server at some periodic basis. I don't know how the voting machines work, but I put my thing down. It scanned it. That was data. Now, one up from that is information. How many candidates, what referendums have the votes? That is raw information. And from the world of training, I'll get into this. This is where I'm concerned about as a technical trainer and possibly as higher level educators. You're worried about information as well. From that, we can go up one step further. If I'm a person in charge of a candidate A's thing, I'm looking at demographics and locations and all these other things. How much time did my candidate spend talking in South Florida and the votes come back? So I'm combining now. I've got knowledge from the information. And now at the end, I go one step further, which is sort of comes outside of information technology, is the wisdom. Bring everything together. How much advertising did we spend on South Florida? How much, what was this and that? You know, just so much stuff. But when I think about training, my mind goes to this. What's the audience? What level am I worrying about? Because it depends on what you're trying to get out of the information and where you are in the world. Hopefully that makes sense to you. If some of you kind of experienced that, maybe you haven't called it this before. This is, to me, something I use, not daily, but often. Trying to think about where I am, where I want to go, how do I get my students, I want to move them up this cycle. As you, graduate students, you know, we're hoping that they're leaving a university with a degree that's wisdom, meaning bringing together all the sysadmin courses into this wonderful student who understands a lot. Individual courses may be information or knowledge level, but when you leave, you've got the diploma, you're at the wisdom level, we hope. I mean, to me, that's how I think about the world when I think about training. So hopefully that makes sense to you. So we've been talking about assessments. So the world I live in, as an industry, we assess to measure effectiveness. My whole point of the conversation is to talk about, is your technical training or any training, education, is it effective? And so why do we measure? Why do we care? Why? There's several reasons why we want to measure. And the ones that I know of and I use a lot is to direct. Like, well, no, you're doing it wrong. I'm going to direct you to go some different direction because you are doing it wrong. And so we measure because we want to direct. Or we justify. I'm measuring to say, yes, look at all the great things I'm giving to you, Mr. Customer, Mr. Boss, and I can prove it, right? Or to say, no, we're going down the wrong path. We are declining. Our students coming inbound to our programs are going way down. We better intervene. We better start doing something to our programs at the higher education level to try to turn that corner. You know, the whole Bachelor of Arts degrees and all that stuff. When I was at universities, they were going down, 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 while all the technology and engineering was going up. And so those guys are madly trying to figure out how to intervene. But for us, in the world of training and technical education, higher level, it's all about validate. The reason I'm going to measure is to validate if I am doing it right, and if I'm not, then what can I do to try to get it in the right thing? So I'm trying to validate if my students are leaving and they got it, and if the training I'm giving them is the right training for what they wanted or what I want them to have, either from somebody telling me they should have or I just came up with it on my own. So lots of ways to measure or lots of reasons to measure is what I'm trying to get at. So it all ties together here in a few moments. So when I think about the data to information to knowledge and finally wisdom, there's only two areas that I really am worried about. It's the two middle ones, the second and the third one, the information and the knowledge level. I like to create, and what I suggest is that training is created for the information or knowledge levels because knowledge users may not need to be proficient at all the information skills. If I'm a leader of, people mentioning ticketing, I use BMC Remedy for our information technology services. You know, how do you log a computer being out? Well, those leaders of those teams, let's say infrastructure team, they need to know how to use Remedy at a different level. I would say the knowledge level, right? I'm not worried about the information. So the first bullet is, you know, like a leader. I don't need to know the ins and outs. I need to get what I need to brief my boss that we're doing successful things or not. And not every user will need knowledge level skills. You know, the guys who are processing those tickets to say they're resolved, etc., those kinds of ideas. So you got differences there. And then the data and wisdom, systems are usually concerned about the ones and the zeros, not individual people, usually. And then wisdom, as I mentioned in our analogy of higher education, is when they graduate, I really can't teach. From my perspective, I can't teach wisdom. From your guys' perspective, definitely, right? That's something we want to try to teach them about to be wisdom. So from the way I design training, it's the middle, second, and the third, information and knowledge to try to get the right way. So I do look at objectives, and I call them objectives, and you might call them goals or whatever the case. So I take all the objectives, and I say, well, is that a information or a data, or what have you. So I break them down into the categories. What I would do for technical training, for example, Microsoft Excel, right? I build a class, I teach that class, it's a lot of fun. I categorize all my Excel-related tasks or objectives together. So my intro class is always the same level, not mixing the two. And then my advanced class would be for the second, again, trying to say, well, if you're going to be a leader of Excel and you're using it, then you need to know how to use different things. So I create classes. And if there's ever a class where it just makes sense for you guys, maybe a standard 16-week class or whatever your semesters are, you would maybe progress in the life cycle of your class from the first phase sequentially. And when you leave towards the last few weeks, you're at a higher level. You're at the knowledge level is sort of what I'm thinking. So that you're building it, stepping stones at a time. At least that's the way I'm thinking. So is that hopefully making sense? And you can save your questions for last or any time in between. Why do we assess? Well, I want to add value to the process. I want to leave my customer or my students leaving the door to be more efficient and more effective and can get their work done quicker than they could when they came to me. They leave and are better at it. So what I like to do is create questions. Now, there's one kind of question that says, how did I do in the class? Right now, I give you the form when you leave and you say, oh, great class, a lot of fun, thank you very much. Well, that's good. It gives me a warm fuzzy, but what I really want to know is it a lasting thing? So what I do is create, I haven't implemented a lot of this stuff yet, is creating assessment questions to validate, is it meeting my goals or my objectives? And then I like to conduct, when possible, pre- and post-class assessments to determine that whole thing. Are you effective? Are you adding value to this equation or not? And clearly, if you have pre, you'll know what they started with. And if you have post, you know how you did in the class. So it'd be great to do both. And here's some talking points of things that I found that, well, if I start getting these returns and I haven't had a chance to get enough of these returns to give success or talk to what I've found so far in my world, let me phrase, my world is the members of U.S. Central Command and the enlisted and the officers and the government civilians and contractors taking these Excel and Word and PowerPoint classes, etc. And so pre- and post-assessments will be an important part. So if they come in and they answer the questions with high retention on what I think the class was, and they leave with high, I'm like, well, I'm not really adding any value. Maybe I should have some test out things if that was appropriate, or maybe more in advanced classes, etc. Would be one possible conclusion I would draw from that if that was what I saw pre and post. Or if you went low to high pre to post, meaning I feel like I'm smart now, then I would say, hey, see, boss, I am giving you effective training. Look at what the customers are saying about my things. What is your university? They're leaving, etc. If it's the opposite, low to medium, I would say, oops, sorry, I don't know why that did that. Where's my mouse? Trying to log me into something I don't want to get logged into. Where's my mouse? Hold on. Technical difficulties. Mr. Mouse, resume slideshow. There we go. Okay, so low to medium would be potential for improvement. I like it to be low to high. And if you're going medium to medium, I'd say maybe we could review the objectives. I mean, we want them to go up at the least from low to high if you're doing a low, medium, high kind of a scenario. And it definitely, if you're just starting at medium and going to high, maybe you could add some lower level objectives to help with whatever the case may be. So basically what I'm saying is to improve a value, I'd like to do a pre and post, because just looking at them at the end without knowing what they were at the beginning, I can't prove to you that I'm giving you value to. If you're defending your position to your dean, from a guy as a contractor, it's on my mind all the time. And well, not all the time, but you know, hopefully you get what I mean. I'm not tenured, as we're having a discussion at lunch today. So if you can, post-class assessments are of value. And I have three categories. Immediately, okay, class is done. I pass out the feedback sheet right here, right now. And most of us do that in our university environments. We usually have to leave the classroom or something. We give one student and hopefully they do it. And you'll see that in 3 or 4 weeks of what they thought of your class. So I think most of us in higher education are doing that now. And I do that in my classrooms now as well. And I do not know what you guys do. I know at my universities for my undergrad and grad, I was never asked 3 weeks later, et cetera, for short term. Give some time to use the skills in the world of Excel and ask them in 30 days, maybe. I don't know what the answer is. I haven't figured this out yet. But I'm thinking 30 days, maybe for university, it's 6 months after graduation. And you ask them the same questions as you did for the pre, the post, again. So then you can do the, you know, the whole research and is it statistically relevant or not. But if you vary the questions, then you really can't quantify differences. Short term, are they still got it? And then long term, for me, I'm thinking 90 days. For you at universities, a year. Have they got the job yet? You know, do they remember what you taught them, etc.? And if I had good answers, hopefully, boy, talk about a defense to say I am giving effective training. Without it, or if there was not a good report, at least you're trying to do something to say, I'm giving value back to this equation. I should still stay here. I'm feeling good about myself every night because these students are leaving with something that they didn't have prior to this. And along, as my bottom bullet says, you can always ask them during those assessments, not only the specific objectives, but just like, well, now it's been 6 months since you came to my intro to sysadmin class. Now that you've been around, you're a senior now, would there be something different about that class you do? You know, the subjective thing where they can write in? Of course, you can add that. Well, will they actually write it in? That's something else. You know, obviously with our students these days, electronic is probably the only thing to get to them because they're never going to open the mail, etc. So when I think about effective training, these are the things I think about. So the last two slides talk to just some examples that I haven't implemented yet, but as soon as I get back and work my final steps, I'm going to start doing these with all my technical training classes. And here are some of the ones that I'm thinking about as an idea. These are where I would gear my training, or I already have started this, to each level. For example, the information and knowledge level. If you're trying to learn how to do Microsoft Excel, if you're just doing data entry, that's information level. If you're just learning how to use tables, same thing. functions, if you know how to use functions. And then I would say the knowledge level people should be knowing how to use charts, how to use pivot tables, and how to connect your data to external connections if needed. I mean, there's a whole lot more that I would break into, but just for the thought-provoking idea, same thing with, as I mentioned already, the ticketing process that we use for IT service management is BMC Remedy. An information level person would be processing a ticket, and those team leads I kind of already mentioned would be all about getting the information out so that I can have a report and I can brief somebody else above me on what's happening, etc. And the CA Spectrum Infrastructure Manager is kind of like SCOM that you were talking about, Charles, System Center Operations Manager, SCOM, and Microsoft, basically monitoring your network. A lot of you guys are sysadmins, so you probably have all kinds of different network monitoring tools. That's the one that I'm most familiar with. Anyway, how to respond to alerts later, how to create alerts and other reporting aspects. And then the last thing is when it's time to assess, as I said, ask them to answer the question, you know, whatever kind of scale you want, 1 to 5, 1 to 10, whatever. And you would use the same questions for all your pre-posts, and if you have multiple posts, so that you can compare and contrast. Are they coming in and leaving, and is the retention staying? Because the golden egg is they came in low, they left high, and they retained 6 months later at a high level. That would be like, you cannot look at cutting my position, boss. Look at what I'm doing for this university. Without me, you know, so these... So when I think about effective training, technical specifically, or I would hopefully it could apply to you and maybe thought-provoking, are you doing those things to think about what is it they want, gearing it to the levels that they should know, and then moving forward? I hope there's some questions and thoughts, but that's my last slide. And I didn't mean to go fast, but this is my sort of my speed. And I wanted to hear the next session before the last break and other things. But thoughts, questions? Anybody doing some of this now? Please.
I have a really quick question. Your pretest, it looked like it's basically self-assessment for the students to rate themselves.
Yes.
Do you
that's...
have any like objective questions where they you can get an understanding of whether they have that depending on the students on the wrong day or actually rates themselves higher that you can actually see if they know the answer so you can get some validity behind it?
I haven't implemented some of these things yet, so I haven't, but that's something that's on my radar. I really want to do it. If I'm invited to come back next year, I could come bring my results. You know, like, hey, I've been doing this for 9 months now, and I train on average 150 students on a variety of topics, not just technical. Some of them are like how to write technically better. You know, you'd be surprised people can't write out there, even after they get a degree. But I haven't implemented it yet, but I'm like right there, almost ready to implement some of this to my students. So I have a fairly large pool of students coming and going every day.
Next. What system do you use now? Because I've implemented this yet. What are you using now to measure effectiveness?
If I was going to use this, we use Microsoft SharePoint as one of our collaborative tools. And within that environment, there is a surveying feature that I could send a student to them electronically, email, obviously, because you know, you're not going to actually visit them. And then they could click and they could be anonymous, or I could program it to say collect. So there's lots of ways. I mean, heck, you could use Acrobat and send them a little PDF and they click and they can hit submit. There's lots of ways, but personally I would use SharePoint because that's what we have prevalent throughout our organization.
Are you pre-imposed right now?
No, I'm this close to implementing in operations. I'm still in the design phase of that. I just do post immediate in the classroom, and it's one form for all classes. How did the instructor do? How was our materials? Could you improve this? What are your suggestions? But later it's going to be, okay, these are Microsoft Excel's forms. This is Word's form. This is PowerPoint's forms. It's taken me a while to get my instructors to come up with, okay, that's good, but let's do it better. And I don't want too many questions because then they're going to be like, yeah, whatever. You know, but if you just, you know, just the right amount, like 31 questions, maybe that was a little much because we all are like complaining. He's like noting to himself, okay, those people were too much. Good question. I'm just picking on you.
I think the post question answer is exactly the same. Well, that's a great idea because, I mean, we don't do that on, I mean, there is a feedback seminar where we tend to only selectively invite the students we happen to like back, so it's kind of a self-reinforcing thing, so getting that once they have actually practiced the skills to come back and review specific courses, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I've heard universities and other people throughout my career say, you know, you pull the student when they're working at the company and to say, are our graduates doing this? And in the U.S., ITT Tech is a big advertiser, and there's guys coming on there saying, oh, ITT Tech students are doing this. And I'm like, well, that's the concept, right? That you can sell to that parent and that freshman during school visit time that, look, here's our statements from all the other graduates who've gone before your daughter is about to enter our university. I mean, talk about selling points. I mean, your programs could do that. Potentially.
Just a couple of comments that you want to be careful of, and that's in the pre and the post. If the post is too similar to the pre, students remember. And so students learn very, very quickly to what kind of questions to expect. And they will know. They'll match up questions from the pre to the post. And they'll remember that pre-test when they take the post. And then the other thing...
Well, I'm not giving them a test. I'm getting to a self-assessment. Is that what you... Go ahead.
Just be careful.
Okay, yeah.
And the other thing is to be careful about the morbidity of the students. So if you have 15 who take the pre and only 10 take the post, what about those 5 that are missing?
Right.
Either they hate you and they want to be nice, mm-hmm. So they say, you know, Mom always said, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you could skew your results pretty drastically by not paying attention.
Absolutely. I remember that from my master's classes, and I can't remember the software we had to say. It's just statistically relevant and those kinds of things. And also with surveying, surveying, who surveys? People who are really happy or people who are really mad.
Right.
And so you got to take that with the wisdom of knowing how surveys work and who actually responds. And so you can't really sell yourself to your boss too much if you have good results, because they could be asking that same. You could be my boss, and you're like, well, that's nice, Eric, but I don't really take, you know, I'm not giving you a raise because of that kind of thing. I'm just saying. But yeah, I just want to have some data coming in, and it's better than no data, which is what I have right now.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.